Okay, we're picking up from the Mishnah, four lines from the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So Mishnah is continuing with the claims of a man and a woman in a case where she was found to be already having bia, so having relations before. Says the Gemara, he omeres mukas eitzanis. So now she claims that the reason I didn't have any basulim is because I was injured by a piece of wood. Again, I'm still a basula, but that's the reason that there was no blood at the bia rishona. Vehu omer lo ki ela drusas yishat. He says no, literally drusa is like to be trampled over, meaning that you had relations with another person before, and therefore I shouldn't have to pay you a ksuba or pay you money. That's going to be. We're going to see that in the Hamshech, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, Ne'emena. So here also, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar say that she would be believed, and she's entitled to whatever Mukatsis is entitled to. We're going to see there's machlokas about what it is that. Rabbi Shua Omer Lo Pianu Chaim. Rabbi Shua says no, that we don't believe her. And Nela Bechazkas Drusas Ish Ach Devar L'Dver. She needs to bring a proof that she had not been, that she had been a Mukatsis, and someone saw that thing happen, or something like that. But unless she does so, she would be believed. She would not be believed, and we would believe the husband's claim that she had been had relations with someone before. So now the Gemara asks, Tanasu b'mai, what exactly are they arguing over here? When she says Mukas Eitz and he says Jerusalem Ish, what are the numbers over here? So the options are either going to be 200 and 100 or 100 and 0, because obviously you have to make it that there's machlokas over here. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Amar b'masai mana, that it's really 200 versus 100. So the way that we're understanding it is that she is claiming that she is worth 200 because of a Mukas Eitz, should be entitled to the full 200 of the ksuba. That is going to be the shita of Rabbi Meir, as we're going to see in a moment, that a woman who was a Cheskas Besula was found to be a Mukas Eitz would still be entitled to the 200. However, if she was really a Be'ula, so then as Rabbi Yeshua would be arguing that we believe that she's a Be'ula, so then she'd still be entitled to the mana. That's 200 versus mana. So Rabbi Elazar Amar b'mana v'lo klum. No, that they're arguing, he says that a Mukas Eitz receives only 100, and it must be that a kansa b'cheskas b'sula v'nin says Be'ula, that if you thought she was a virgin, however she found out to be not a virgin, halacha is she's entitled to nothing at Tzvekach Tos. So now the Gemara elaborates. Rabbi Yochanan Amar b'masai b'mane. Rabbi Yochanan says that the argument is over 200 versus 100 mane. Savar la Rabbi Meir. He holds, according to the Meir, Damar bein beikirba bein lo ikirba masayim, that whether or not the chassan had known that she was in Mukas Eitz before they had gotten married, it doesn't matter. She's still a full-fledged basula, and therefore there's nothing to argue about over here. She should be entitled to the full 200. Rabbi Lazar, Amar b'mane v'lo klum. Amar Rabbi Lazar says that the machlokas is really concerning a mane versus nothing at all. He holds Savar la Rabbanan. He holds the Mishnah is in accordance with the Rabbanan. Damar bein ikirba bein lo ikirba mane. Whether or not you recognized, or rather did not recognize it, a person who is going to be a Mukas Eitz is only going to receive a mana. So the Gemara says, and when it comes to Kanchasav, Becheskas Besula, when it says Beula, she should receive nothing. That is going to be the machlokas over here. So says the Gemara, Bishlam, Rabbi Lazar, lo kam Rabbi Yochanan. So now, it makes more sense why Rabbi Lazar, should we understand, is why he understands the Mishnah the way he does. As we're about to Deva Kamut, Deva Karbanan, he's had a machlokas of Meir and Rabbanan. So it's always better to make the Shita of the majority of the Tanaim to be lined up with the Stam Mishnah. So the Stam Mishnah over here is not going to be like Rabbi Meir, rather it's going to be like the Chachamim, Argin or Meir, and hold that Emukas Eitz is entitled to only 100. Ela Rabbi Yochanan, my time Allah, Mark Rabbi Lazar. So why talk at Rabbi Yochanan say that this Mishnah is like a Liba, the Yachid, in Tanaim, because says the Gemara now, Kasavar Kansa Becheskas Besula Vnintzas Beula Yesh Laksuvasamane, because he understands that a woman who got married, the man married the woman on the presumption that she was in fact a Besula, she was a virgin, and she was found out to be a non-virgin. So the halach is, says the Gemara, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, that she would still be entitled to Laksuva of Mane. Now says the Gemara, if that's the case, that she's in that situation, she's entitled to a Mane. So what's going on? What would be the difference between the two arguments? Hachahu Kamar Mane, Vi Kamar Mane, Mai Ika Bein Tana Dide La Tana Didas. If a kansa becheskas besula v'nintas beula is entitled to really a mana and not zero as Rabbi Lazar is trying to claim, rather she's entitled to a mana, entitled to 100 zuz as opposed to 200. So he's arguing that she's entitled to 100 zuz. Now if you tell me Mukas Eitz is also entitled to 100 zuz, so then what in the world are Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel arguing? It doesn't matter who you believe. Both of them are going to be entitled to the same amount. So their claims are increasing absolutely nothing to them. So that is the Shaila over here. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan was forced to say that our Mishnah is that of the Shita of Rabbi Meir, that someone who is a Mukas Eitz really is entitled to the full 200, and that in fact is the Machlokas, otherwise the Mishnah is not readable according to Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara Bishlan, Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Lazar, I understand. That's why the Mishnah taught us two different cases, Rabbi Yeshua In two different cases. We have the previous case, the case in the Mishnah on Yud Beis and Yud Beis, where the Chasan and the Kala disagree about whether or not she had Bia before the Erusin or after, and Istab Chasadeu, that din. So why would that be? Because Chada Lepuke Midrabim Barchama. So the first Mishnah is coming, rather our Mishnah is coming to tell us that the woman, is going to be excluding Rabim Barchama, that even though the husband did not know of her injury before the Erusin, that would be the Rabim Barchama said that the husband didn't realize the wood injury, she would receive nothing, so you're getting a mana. So that's our Mishnah is against the sheet that we saw yesterday of Rabbi Bar Chama. So then, what? And Chadala Pukim Medu Rav Chia Baravin Amar Rav Sheshes, and the Mishnah on Yud Beis and Beis, which is telling us the Chassan says that she Mishers, that it was Mekach Tos, which applies that she shouldn't receive anything whatsoever, is coming to the exclude of Rav Chia Baravin, who holds like Rabbi Yochanan, that a concept of Cheskas Besulam Nintos Beula is going to be Ksuvasa Mane. There, it's clearly implied on Yud Beis and Beis that when we say mekach taos generally means that we revert the whole sale. Reverting the whole sale means that she's entitled to nothing. That is the din of the Mishnah over there. So it says the Gemara, El Rabbi Yochanan Tartalamali, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, if our Mishnah really holds that a woman who was lechora under the presumption of being a basula and was found to be a ba'ula can still receive a ksuvah samana, so then we can understand that it was mekach tos. The previous Mishnah is telling us that she has to pay. He still has to pay. So again, if that's the case, why do we need the previous Mishnah? From our Mishnah alone, we could learn this halacha with Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Gamliel. So it says the Gemara that the two cases are actually different, and each one is showing you how strong each shita held of their position, as the Gemara is about to flush out. Chada lehodiach hakoyecha de Rabban Gamliel, that the case is going to be necessarily to teach you the chiddush of Rabban Gamliel. V'chada lehodiach hakoyecha de Rabbi Yeshua, one of them is necessary to teach you the chiddush of Rabbi Yeshua. Says the Gemara, which is that? Kamaisa lehodiach hakoyecha de Rabban Gamliel. The Mishnah that we had yesterday's daf would tell us how far Rabbi Yeshua says, da'afagav deiklami amrigo, because over there, she's claiming she was raped. Now, as we're pointing out, there's a much better claim that she could have said. She could have said mukas eitzani. She could have said that I had this maka, got a wound, and that's why. But I really am a basula still. Here, she's admitting to not being a basula, so she's really losing out. So we see that as how far Bishua goes, that even in the previous Mishnah, that's how far, that I would have thought maybe Bishua agrees to Rabbi Gamliel in the case of the previous Mishnah, because that case you have a Migo, maybe we should believe the woman. No, even when she has a Migo, she's not believed. And Basrais Lodicha go to Rabbi Gamliel, and our Mishnah is teaching you the Chiddush of the Chiddush of Rabbi Gamliel, Dafagav the Lake of Migo, she's making the best claim. The best claim is to say Mukaseit, so there's no better claim that she could make. A Migo means that there was a better claim you could have said if you really were lying. And here, there is no better claim you could have said, because you really are not, in fact, making any possible better claim. There's no Migo yet, Mehemna. She's still believed, according to Rabbi Gamliel, and therefore, each Mishnah is necessary to teach you how far these Tanaim went. Because I would have thought maybe Rabbi Gamliel would agree with Rabbi Shua in our Mishnah, and Rabbi Shua would have agreed with Rabbi Gamliel in the previous Mishnah, Kamash Malan, that both of them hold of their Shita Stark, even when there are reasons to believe that the other one is more convincing. Okay, now we're going to have two more cases, Machlokas, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Eliezer, with regards to believing the woman. Says the Mishnah, now, Ra'u Amida Beres Yimechad. So they saw that this woman was talking with somebody. They asked, what is this man? Ish ploni v'kayinu. And he said, oh, by the way, that's Reuven, and he's a kayin. He's a Reuven the kayin. Rabbi Galil, Rabbi Eliezer, they say, omrim, that she is going to be ne'emena, she is going to be believed. Rabbi Yeshua says, lo p'yad anachayim, elam b'chazkas bula, lanasin, lamamzach, tevrel, advarel. So she is believed in so much that we assume that she is going to remain as a cheskas kashus to marry another yid, that she don't assume that she's a bil, because we have a concept of bil apostle, that the concept is that if someone has bia with somebody that's usher, it's puzzle for her to marry a kohen and to be with a kohen. So here, she is going to be, in this case over here, she's believed to assume that she was not nivellas to someone's asr. However, Rabbi Shua says, no, we assume that she's having bia with a nasin or a mamzer. A nasin are the people from the Givonim, Yeshua designated as a chot ve'etzim v'shal v'mayim, and they're asr to marry into the kahal. So a person who has bia with them is going to be asr to marry a kohen. A mamzer, obviously, somebody is not allowed to marry, and therefore it's a product of Isser Karius and Isser Misa. At length, we've discussed that in Yevamos. So that anybody who has bia with a mamzer is also possible to ever marry a kohen after that. So this, so that the halacha over here is that we assume that she would be allowed to lunch, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. Now another case, Haisim Mubaris, if she also was pregnant, so she wasn't married to anybody, so she's a single girl, and they saw that she's pregnant. So they said, what's the nature of this fetus? She says, Mish Plodi V'Kayinu. She says, it's Reuven the Kayin is the father of this one. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Ne'emenes, that she would be believed, Rabbi Yeshua, Emer, Lopi, and Chayim, that we don't believe her. Rather, Rabbi Cheskas, Mu'beres, Lenasin, and Lamamzer, Ad Shetavi, Raya, Ledvarea. Here also we assume that there's no reason to assume that this Uber should be kosher, and we assume that this Uber is not. This is even further than that. This is if the woman, she's still a Yid, so the woman is totally going to be Jewish. It says that she might not be allowed to marry a Kohen. In this case, it's Bichlal determining if this boy or girl who's born from this lady who we don't know about who the father is, halacha is going to be that we don't even assume that she's Jewish according to Rabbi Yeshua. That's how we go far. So now it says the Gemara, my midaberes. What exactly, when we meant in the first case, we had two cases over here, one was midaberes and one was that she was mubaris, she wasn't speaking, literally speaking, and one was that she was pregnant. So it says Gemara, my midaberes. What exactly is meant by the case of the fact that she was speaking? So it says the Gemara, Zeiri Amar Nistra. Really, it means that she was secluded with him, meaning that witnesses saw her do yichud. They didn't witness any bia beferish, but they saw that she was together alone with him in a room, and that was something which we assume led to eventually relations. Rav Asi Amar Nivala. No, Rav Asi says there was actual witnesses who saw that she was engaging in having relations with this man. So not just that there's a meaning further that they went further, because Rabbi Yeshua would not assume that it would be usher if they just simply had gone into yichud according to Rav Asi. So it says the Gemara, Bishlam leZiri. So now I understand according to Ziri why the Mishnah says the lashon of midaberes. Haidu dektani midaberes, the lashon of speaking, because the lashon of speaking is can mean that she was whispering to him and she was talking to him in private. That understands that. I understand that lashon. However, Rav Asi, my midaberes, why would you use lashon of speaking to say nivelas, that she was having bia and they saw her having relations? Why would the Mishnah use this weird phrase over here? So says the Gemara, no, because it's lishna maya deksev achla machsa piyav aber lo palti avin. It's a lashon of a lishna maya. It's a euphemism. It's a nice way of saying the lashon of having relations. And we see this by the pasuk in Mishlei, and it's talking about a zayna that literally the woman who is a zona, she eats and she wipes her mouth. It doesn't mean she's eating, it means she's having bia. We see the lashon of achila and is lashon of, and she's saying, I've done no wrong. She's saying, I earn my living. This is my living. She's a zona. She's a right woman who's just a harlot. So she's going around sleeping with everyone and taking payment. She says, listen, this is my parnasa. So she's wiping her mouth and saying, I've done nothing wrong. So lamaisa, that is a lashon nikia, that for the lashon of having relations with this man. Okay, so we see that could be a lashon amalia. Says the Gemara, Bishlam leZiri. So that, I understand we've answered for Ravashi why the lashon medaberes is used. So says the Gemara another point. Bishlam leZiri, Haynu dektani tarti medaberes and medaberes. Now according to Ziri, I understand why the Mishnah is having two cases. The case of where she had done yichud, where she's gone in only seclusion, but we assume maybe she had bia. In the case where actually she was pregnant, so she for sure had bia with somebody. So in that case, because those cases where you're teaching us the chiddush of just being secluded, which teaches a chiddush in Rabbi Yeshua, that even where we don't necessarily see who she had bia with, she would be, and she established it before she was even known to be pregnant, yet we still don't believe her. And the case where she's pregnant teaches the chiddush of Rabbi Gamliel, how far Rabbi Gamliel says that we would still believe her in that case. So now the Gemara says, so that's why it makes sense to say that there's both cases. Ela Rav Asi, Tarti Lamali, but according to Rav Asi, why do I need the case of if it really is just speaking meant also having bia, so that's the equivalent of having being pregnant, because both cases she's stuck, she must answer that something happened over there, said that she was in fact had relations, and the case where she had pregnant, she also had to admit that there was relations, so why would I need the Mishnah to repeat the same case twice? So says the Gemara now, that one case is needed to tell that she is fit for a Kohen, but in the case of the pregnant one, is to teach her that even her daughter is going to be fit. That the second case is adding that Rabbi Gamliel is going to say that even the child is also prevented to marry a Kohen. I would have thought maybe that only for her, because she has a cheskas kashrus, right? She beforehand was kasher. Everyone thought she was a kasher yid. So the fact that she has bila to somebody, I wouldn't necessarily say she's pasul takuna because she has a cheskas kashrus. So it says, the Gemara says, Hanichal amadam ledivre machshuba machshubita. As we're going to see on Amud Bez over here in today's daf, we're going to see that there's machlokas how far this chazaka goes according to Rabbi Gamliel. One says that it goes for her and for her daughter. However, alach amadam ledivre machshuba posel bita, that the Rabbi Gamliel would not go as far as to say that the lashon is that the chazaka would go as far as to say that her daughter is also kasher. Maybe only, she has a cheskes kasher, so b'nei l'mir. But what would we have to believe the daughter to believe that the daughter is kasher? The daughter is not speaking; she's a baby; she's going to be born. But we're talking about what chazaka do we have the right to believe the daughter? We don't. So my iklamimer, but according to one who says that we don't go so far as to say that we would give the cheskes kasher and even extend it to the daughter. So why would we tell me two cases? In the second case, we're saying that the daughter is not going to be kasher until we know from Edim or something that she was nivelas to kasher yid. So it says in Gemara, Ravasi saver kema damar ledivre machsher ba machsher bevita. Ravasi says that we would paskin in accordance with the one who says that we paskin that the one who rules her fit, rules her daughter fit as well, and that's going to be how he paskin. So really, he needs to say that in order to say that both cases are necessary. So now the Gemara has a kasha on Ziri now. Amar le Rapapa Labayit le Ziri damar my deberes nistera. That really, that when it talks about speaking, that means that she was really just secluding herself. Ve'amar Rabbi Yeshua lo mehemner. Rabbi Yeshua says that she's not believed. Rabbi Yeshua considers the Isser Yichud not enough to asser her. So enough to say that she actually is asser a kohen. Amar Rav Malkin al Yichud ve'inos al Yichud. Rav says that we would give her malchus midrabanan if a woman is secluding herself, lechora pnuya about pana and pnuya, having seclusion together. We don't necessarily having bia, but just secluding themselves, we would give them malchus midrabanan. Vein osin aleichud, and we would not ask her to assume that she was nivelas for a goy. Let's say she was secluded herself with a goy. We would not ask her to a kohen. Lema deloker b'shulach, or we're assuming that Rav is not in accordance with the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua would say that she maybe it would be based on our assumption, based on what he says over here in the Mishnah, that he would agree that she is pasal l'kuhuna, and he would disagree with Rav. Therefore, so it says the Gemara filo tev Rabbi Yeshua my loss of Yochsin. You could say even Meikar Adin, that's correct, that Rav is really correct. Rabbi Yeshua would agree Rav is correct. Meikar Adin, she's not asher to a kohen. However, that we've gone higher standards for inyana Yochsin, how to marry somebody, who their yichuser, who they're married to, who are their children, who are their parents. Those things are important in terms of really here's who more of their parents, to make sure that they're regarding a kohen, that this kohen is a higher standard of who they should marry, so they should not marry this woman. Says the Gemara, but Meikar Adin agrees that really she should be allowed halachically to marry this woman. Says the Gemara, they have another kasha from the Braisa. They saw her entering into a secluded place. This implies that the witnesses only saw Yichud, but not actually having Bia. So now turning on to the next Amud. Says the Gemara, Olachorva, or they're into a ruin. This is more of a case we're going to have via, because who's going to a broken house, like an area where it's like a destroyed area? Lachorva, that's, you know, you always see that. There's like always like graffiti and all this bad stuff going on in places that are like abandoned buildings. So even Bizan said that a Chorva is a place where it's more likely to have someone have via there. V'amrila Mativa, she says, they ask her, what's the nature of this person? She says, Koeinu Venachiaba, which is actually, he's my uncle. I had via with my uncle and my uncle's son, so that's who I had to be with, and that's the child over here. So this says the Gemara, Ragliel, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Naimana. She's really believed, and she's ready to marry a kohen. Rabbi Shua, Mir, Lompi, and Achayim. We assume that she had bia, and since she brings a full-fledged proof that she had bia with this kohen, then we are assuming that she would not be believed. So says the Gemara now, Bishlam el Ziri. Now I understand according to Ziri that he says the Dibor means Yichud. So Hanetani Tarte leSeiser Olachorva. There's two different cases in the Braisa. One is teaching us a case of one is going to a place of Yichud, and the other place of Chorva, which is even more of a case where we're assuming that maybe that even more likely that she had Bia over there. El Ravasi Damar Nivala Tarte Lamele. Who cares that where she's going to have the Bia? It means that she's having relations with somebody. I don't care where it is. If it's in the Chorva in the city, it doesn't matter. Both cases should be the same halachic implication, so you shouldn't say olachorva. So it says Gemara Tartelameli. Why do I need two different cases? It says Gemara Chadik Tani. Really, it's actually one case. Leseser dechorva. It meant she went into seclusion. Where did she go into seclusion? Into this abandoned building. So it says the Gemara Vahala Seser olachorva Tani. But that's not true. The Baisa says two different cases. It says a lashon of into a secluded place or into this abandoned building. So that indicates clearly that we're talking about two separate cases. It's dividing into two separate cases. So it says the Gemara, Chada l'chorva demasa v'chada l'chorva. No, really, it is one case. One case that went into it actually is, no, sorry, in fact, it is really two cases, but it's different. One is a case where it's a ruin in a city, and one is a ruin in the open field. So it says the Gemara, Tzricha, and both would be needed, because the Iyashmin and Chorva demasa, if you had only told me that it was a ruin in a city, so we're talking about a city like, a, you know, like Tinek. So, most of the people people in Tinek. Tinek has a whole other side of non-Jews, but let's just assume majority of people in Tinek are Jewish. So then, so she would have a cheska. She would be al pirov. The most likely chance is that she would be permitted to marry a kohen because she most likely had relations with a yid. Again, if a person just has relations with a yid and is not and obviously not the right thing to do, and we'll get malchus, but bad sim, she's not going to be usher to a kohen if that's the case. If she has bia for anybody who's puzzle, like a goy or somebody like that, that would puzzle her to a kohen. That's actually a big problem for Bali Tshuva. If they wanted to marry a kohen and they were in college or something like that, that is a big issue. Anyway, so back to over here though. So here we're assuming that in the city there's mostly Yidden, so therefore we're assuming that there's a rove. So, and I would have thought maybe only that case Rabban Gamliel would say is kasher. Maybe the case where it's davra, I would have thought look over to davra. The rabbos and so in a case where most people are going to be davra is now you're just it's open area. So and anybody in the world could have had bia with her, and therefore it's the whole world and rove of the world is goyim. Ema modal Rabbi Yeshua, I would have thought that Rabban Gamliel would agree to Rabbi Yeshua. And similarly, if you don't mention the second case, Yeshman and Bayi, if you only mention the case where it's in the field, so that I would say the other round, that Mahakam Rabbi Yeshua, that in that case, Rabbi Yeshua says that she's possible because it's Rov Psulin Etzla. But in the case where it's in the city, and it's in the city, it's a case where she has to be in the city of Emel and Rabbi Gamliel. I would have thought that Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua would agree with Rabbi Gamliel that if it's the Bia happened in Tinek, so Rov Kshir and Etzla, and the Halacha would be, she would be allowed to marry a Kohen, even according to Rabbi Yeshua. Kamash Blan, that no, they both hold other sheet as stark, even against the rove. Sricha, therefore both are necessary. Now another kasha on Ravasi though. So that's the Gemara Mesime. Another kasha on Ravasi. Zo Edush Ishak Sherila. This is part of a Tosefta, really. The Tosefta was discussing the case of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Gamliel, as we had in our mission, just with more of a Hemshech. So this is the testimony which a woman herself is fit, meaning she is believed regarding herself that she'd be with someone who would not disqualify her. Rabbi Shua Milo, Einon Amaz, Rabbi Shua says she's not believed. So now the Tosefta, as it does many times, it goes on to mention a Hemshech of the back of the Shakla Vatari that Rabbi Shua had with Rabbi Gamliel. As it does many times, it's more expensive than the Mishnah. So says the Tosefta, Amar Lehem Rabbi Yeshua, Yatem Modim B'Shviya Shenishbeis. Don't you agree with regard to a woman who was captured? V'yesh La'idim Shenishbeis, and she has witnesses saying that she had been captured. V'yomer Shtahura Ani, and she says, I didn't have any relations, no goy was nivel me, I was not raped by anybody. Halacha is, She'ena Ne'emenes, that she is not believed, and she may not marry a koyen. Halacha is, we assume that she had been violated by the goyim, and therefore she is not ne'emenes. So it says Amrulo Aval. They said Aval. Aval many times means yet but. But here it doesn't mean but. It actually means correct. That is correct. It actually points out like what we have the in the pasuk Aval Sarah Ishtecha. Why the Mishnah specifically over here uses the lashon of Aval? I'm not sure. But either way, they said that is correct. You're right. So says the Gemara. Says the Tosafta Vayter Ma Efresh Yesh Ben Zulazu. So Rabbi Shua responded. He kept going. He says, what's the difference between this woman that the woman who's captured? We don't believe her. To the woman over here who had been secluded, and we assume that she had. Not she had relations. We don't believe her. So lezu yesh edim. So the Gemara is saying the lechora regards to the captive woman. There are witnesses that she had bia. Lezu yein la edim. Whereas the woman who had just gone into seclusion, there are no witnesses in that case. We just know that she had secluded herself. We don't know that she had bia. And even if she admits that she had bia with somebody, she would be al tsmigo. She'd be believed that she wouldn't have wanted to lie. So that would be the case. She would not. She would be believed in that case. Amar lahem af lezu yesh edim sheiv kresa mishneh. But he says very clearly there are witnesses because at the end of the day that with regards to this case that you're arguing with me there are also witnesses that because we were saying that she's pregnant so she clearly had relations with somebody so therefore she's also as if there's witnesses to the bia. Amrulah row of the kochavim prutzim arayosim. So they say no with regards to the one who's captured the most likely chance is that these goyim were nivalar because you know they're left promiscuous and they're having relations all the time. So then, the pashas over here that they had relations with her. Amalem, Enap and Chapas Larayos, and they responded that there was no guarantee against having forbidden relations. What exactly was that response? The Gemara is going to discuss. That's a weirder. What was the Shakla Tari here? So now the Brisa concluded with Bamed Vermim, one of these words that the woman is believed said, but Edus Isha Begufa, only with regards to the testimony herself, her own status. However, Bal Edus Isha Bita Devi Akol of La Shtuki, that everybody agrees that the child is a Shtuki. A Shtuki is somebody who says shh, like Shasak, like be quiet. Because they don't want to, they say it's better to be quiet than talk about who your father is. Because if you say your father might be a goy, then we're a choshesh that the child is a goy, that's why she's shosekim. She doesn't want to say who the father is because that it likely is the father was a goy. So says the Gemara now, so what did he say to them and what did they in turn respond? Meaning, obviously, he must have said something to them with their vices leaving out. And what kind of response are they having over here? So says the Gemara, here's what happened. This is what the Tosefta's exchange was. So you evade answered us regarding the pregnant woman. What are you going to tell us about a woman who just secludes herself? The case of someone who's secluding herself is very similar to the case of a shvuya, where we don't necessarily know what happened, but we assume that there was a bia. So too, in regards to the case where they had yichud, we assume that there was a bia there. They said right back to him that a captured woman is different, because that who is likely the ones who are there? The of the kachavim are most likely the ones who had bia with her. So Amar Lehem Hanami came unto Isatar in Apachelpas Larayas. He said to them that this woman also, who is speaking, is also no different, because once she had secluded with this man, there is no guarantee against the fact that she had forbidden relations, and no one could guarantee she didn't have Bia, and she therefore losing her Cheskas Kashrus, and as the case of the woman in the case who is a Shvuya, they should both be problematic. So what do we see though? We leave that the Braisa seems to say, Ketanim Yas Tarte, that the Braisa was talking about two different cases of Medaberes Ume Uberes, that the first case clearly is talking about Yichud, not necessarily having relations in the first case, and the second case is going to be the case of having relations because she was pregnant. And that was the point that they were saying that you're right, that we responded about Medaberes. What are you going to say about Muberes? Clearly they're talking about two different cases. So that's against Ravasi. So says the Gemara, Tiyufta de Ravasi, Tiyufta, you're right, that's actually a double knockout, a double Tiyufta, we don't respond to that, meaning we're saying that this is from the fact that Ben Gamliel and Elazar replied to Rabbi Yeshua, that you have mishtanu ala mubaris. What are you going to tell us about a woman who's midabaris? We're clearly talking about that she is speaking means that actually she had yichud and not she had bia, and that's the maskana of the Gemara that we reject Ravasi. It's very interesting. The Gemara is saying that the Rabbi Gamliel didn't respond to the mubaris case. So what exactly? How are you going to respond to the mubaris? So we're showing them talk about this. So what exactly are we going to respond to that? So the Shita Mekubetzah says that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar did not mean to say that they agreed to Rabbi Yeshua in this case of a pregnant woman. That's clear because Rabbi Yosef Paskins like Rabbi Gamliel. Rather, it means that they stuck to their halacha because they must have had an oral masorah to keep that way, and apparently their rabbis would be able to defend their Shita against Rabbi Yeshua. That's what we're saying over here. So that would be a nice answer to explain this. It says the Gemara, "V'tipu klei dasam rov psulin etzla." So the Gemara just points out, though, maybe Rabbi Yeshua should derive his halachic difference between the case of a medaberes and a shvuya, because that in the case of the captured woman, who is captured, the goyim. So most likely, the goyim are the ones that had bia with her. Even there's one yid there, but it's rov goyim. So it's rov chance she had bia. V'hacha rov kshirin etzla. Whereas the case of the woman who was just speaking and she was in the town, again, she was in Tinek, let's say. So rov people who live in Tinek are Jewish. So the halacha should be that she most likely had bia with a yid. So says the Gemara, "Misayil Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi." This actually, the fact that it doesn't mention that and doesn't mention this point is the chora araya for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the divrei machshira machshira filu berov psulin. That the shita of Rabbi Gamliel, who hold that and Rabbi Lazar, right, that they hold that where that the woman is believed is even if rov are going to be psulin etzla, we would believe the woman in that circumstance. And the divrei apostle filu berov kshirim. And the one who rules that she's unfit for kahuna, Rabbi Yeshua is telling her that she would be unfit even where most are available are going to be kosher to her, even in the case where she's nevelas in the city in Tinek, that would be a case where we would not believe her, even where there's a rove to support her. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ledivrei Machshir Bamachshir Bevita, Ledivrei Apostle Bapostle Bevita. This is what we're going to mention. Then Machlokas with the Rabbi Gamliel, he would say that her daughter is also fit, and the one and Rabbi Yeshua would say that the daughter is unfit as well. So Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Ledivrei Machshir Bapostle Bevita. Rabbi Lazar says the one who rules fit is only for her, not for her daughter. Amar Rabbi Ma'at Tamei Rabbi Lazar. Why would Rabbi Lazar? Because Mishlam Yisachas Kaskashes. That's what we already fleshed out earlier. Amar Aleph, when we brought this up, is that she. The mother is a cheskas kasher, that she's a chazaka, that she's kasher to kohen. We had no assumption beforehand that she was usher. So the fact that she now has bia with somebody shows she has a cheskas kasher to support her claim as well that she should be allowed to continue marrying a kohen. Aval bita ilesei cheskas kasher. This woman was born in Suffolk. The daughter, this daughter that she was born to her out of this union that we don't know who the father was. So she was always a chazaka. There was no chazaka that saying she was a cheskas kasher because we don't know if she's kasher or not. She is born in doubt. So says the Gemara. Lechora, that should be the case. Asevir Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Lazar has the kasha based on the brayso. But Medrash Rambam, one of these halachas stated, "Beedus isha begufa." Oh, edus isha be direkul vlashtuki. Isn't it very clear? My lashtuki pasul lechora. In the case where for herself we believe her, but for the child we say that the child is a shtuki. The child is a shtuki, and lechora shtuki means that we say like don't talk about who your father is because she's pasul. The child is pasul and pasul to marry a kohen. So Gemara says, "Lo shtuki v'kasher." Really, this is actually an example of a shtuki who's in fact kasher to marry a kohen. It's a partial shtuki. So that's the point over here that we assume that we don't allow him to, meaning if the father really was a kohen, and we don't know who the father was, but it was one kohen, we don't give him the privileges of a kohen. So the Gemara says, is it really true? Mika shtuki kasher, really a case of a shtuki, and we just take away his kohen and privileges, can we know the father's a kohen and his kohen? Gemara says, in kedushmul yes, tamar shmul asarag, koyanim delmi. If there was 10 men standing by a woman, 10 men standing by a woman, and one of them had bia with this with this woman. We don't know who it was. One of them had bia with this woman. We don't know which Kohen it was. Avlad Shtuki, the lach is Avlad Shtuki. So clearly, my Shtuki. What does it mean by shtuki in this context? If you're going to tell him that he's not entitled to any one of these 10 people's possessions because we don't know who his father is. The Gemara says, Pshita, that's very obvious that we don't know who his father is and therefore should not be entitled to his possessions. We don't know who his father is. The halacha is, we do not allow him to remain, he cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash or eat shuma. Both these halachas. Why? This pasuk in this week's parsha, Pinchas, connections, the daf to the parsha over here is that we give to the offspring after him a bris kulas oilam. Misha zara miuchas acharav, only offspring who is known to be who the father is. Even if we know the person was a kohen for sure, as we just have in that example of Shmuel, we don't know who his father is, so therefore he's not allowed to do to get truma and not allowed to be oved in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in Yevamos we saw earlier actually seems to indicate that this is only an asmachta, not a deraisa, but either way, that's what we learned from over here. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will pick up a whole aris. But Rosasu doesn't reveal safe as Hashem in tomorrow's daf.